Sharon Bornholt with the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, and I am really happy to have Brandon Turner with me today. Brandon is the senior editor and the community director over at Bigger Pockets, in addition to being a full-time real estate investor. He lives in Washington State. He's been investing in real estate since he was 21. Now, he's still pretty young, but he's got some really solid experience down. He's also a guitar player and a world traveler, which we're going to talk about. So I'm glad to have you today, Brandon.
Well, thank you, Sharon. I'm glad to be here.
You know, this whole thing with Bigger Pockets, I know, is a pretty new thing for you. You've worn quite a few hats in your 27 years. You've been an ex-banker, a contractor, a flipper, a maintenance guy. You know, you've built quite a little resume for yourself in a pretty short time. So tell me a little bit about how you got started, and did you come right out of school and go into banking, or how did that all work?
Yeah, I actually went to school for, I was a history major. And the only reason I chose history is because when I looked at the number of credits I had kind of going into my final year of college, I figured I could graduate a semester early if I switched to a history major. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I just to get out quickly because I really didn't enjoy college much. Mm-hmm. And had no idea what I was going to do after that at all. I never thought I'd actually go into banking. That was just kind of an accident, actually. I started investing in real estate, and, I bought a house, and just because I didn't want to rent, and so I bought one. I was working I think I was making $9 an hour. Mm-hmm. And back then, you know, I mean, banks were throwing money around. So, I mean, yeah, kid right out of college making $9 an hour, sure, and they qualified me for a $200,000 house, which was insane. I didn't buy that big of a house, but they qualified me for it. And, so I bought that. I fixed it up. I sold it, and I thought, well, that was a lot of fun. I should do that again. And so that's how I got into real estate. And then I started flipping as the market just started dropping. So I would buy a property, and then the market would drop, and I'd buy another one, and it would drop. And it wasn't the greatest way to make a living off that. So that's how I went to the bank to try to get a loan, and I didn't get a loan, but they offered me a job just talking to them. So I took the job, and I did that for a year until the market kind of leveled.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I was rehabbing. And then the market started to go down, and they sat so long. Your money was just tied up so long. And I was using short-term construction loans, and then you had to worry, gosh, am I going to run out? What if I have to refinance? And I got into wholesaling kind of the same way, just almost by accident. So it's funny when you talk to people how the path that they take to get into real estate is, it just seems to almost fall into place.
Yeah, it does. It's very, you know, and I tell people today that they want to get into real estate. Everybody wants, you know, a plan, and they want, this is a step-by-step way to do it, which is nice to have, but most good investors I know, it grew organically, like from accidents and just from life happening. I think that's the best way to learn anything is organically.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea to have a general direction of where you want to go, but I've asked almost every single person, what does your business look like today compared to what it looked like you thought it was going to look like? And every single person said it bears no resemblance to the way I started out. And what they all have said is it's so much bigger and so much better, but I could have never predicted how it was all going to turn out.
Yeah, that's very true. I kind of feel the same way. I mean, I had a plan. I had written a plan. I read a book. I think it was, what was it called? The Unofficial Guide to Real Estate Investing. Mm-hmm. And it talked about making a plan. And so I wrote it down. I wrote down exactly what I was going to do for the next 10 years of my life to become a millionaire is kind of how it was. And I followed fairly. I'm following fairly close to it, but I moved a lot faster than I thought I would. And again, that was kind of just by accident. I kind of fell into a few deals that were great that I didn't expect. I didn't go out and find them. But yeah, my where I am today is way different than
Yeah, you really made, I talk to people all over the country and all different ages, and you're one of a couple of people I know that has really just grown organically pretty fast in the big scheme of things, because you've got real estate investors that have been around 20 years that probably aren't where you are.
Yeah, I like to think I'm either lucky or very blessed. Either way, I've had a good run so far.
Well, I think it takes a combination of all of that.
Yeah, I think there's a quote, I don't remember who said it, but you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've always loved that quote.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So you began flipping. Those houses, you bought them and you fixed them up and you flipped them. And along the way, though, you began doing some buy and hold and holding on to some of those. Isn't that correct?
Correct, yeah. It's because, you know, we tried to sell them. I had one on the market for 6 months, and it just, as the market dropped, you know, we originally paid $40,000 for it, and we put about $50,000 into it. So we had about $90,000 into it. And we were, at the time, we thought we were going to sell it for $150,000. Mm-hmm. And we were down to 120 before I finally pulled it off the market and put a renter in it. And now it cash flows pretty nicely. I got a refinance on it, long term, fixed rate, low rate. Mm-hmm. But it would have been obviously nicer to sell that at the time. But mm-hmm. but now I look back and I'm glad. Now I have a property that does cash flow mm-hmm. every month, and I make income every month off it, whether or not it sells or not. So, yeah, so that's how I got into buy and hold, was kind of accidentally when the market forced that. It kind of forced my hand to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that is the story for a lot of people. And I had to learn to kind of look at things a little bit differently in my business. Here, always before, I could depend on finding someone to rehab a house and sell it for, you know, to a retail buyer. Then all of a sudden, they were doing just what you said. They weren't selling. So then my investors that I was selling to, they said, look, you know, we've got a different criteria now. We have to have a plan B, and whatever we buy, we have to know that in that neighborhood, when it's all done, it'll cash flow. So then I had to start looking at everything from two different perspectives, even, you know, where my marketing came into play, you know, because everybody had a plan A, but maybe they had had to have a plan B too. So it changed the way I did business, not only the way like the rehabbers did business. But now I understand you manage dozens of properties now. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, we have, you know, a bunch of our own that we take care of. And then I do a lot of, you know, I'm not a property manager. So like I work for some people that I kind of look after them. I do the maintenance essentially. I'll yeah. call up a maintenance guy, have them come over. Mm-hmm. But they manage it themselves. I just kind of do all the dirty work that they don't like to do.
Yeah.
And because I have that system set up now with my own property, so it's easy. Just, you know, I can call my maintenance guy and say, hey, can you go over and take care of this mm-hmm. guy's property? And, yeah, so I do that for three or four different mm-hmm. friends of mine that are kind of my mentors and mm-hmm. fellow investors around here.
Yeah. Well, that's a great idea, and it's a great another profit center for your business too.
It is, yeah. And, you know, like I said, one of the guys specifically is like my mentor. You know, we talk a lot about mentors and having, you know, people that you can rely on, I guess. And that guy, his name is Kyle. He owns a bunch of property out here, and that was just kind of an organically grown mentor. Mm-hmm. Who I never like sought that out. It just kind of became a good friendship. And I mean, even last night, he called me last night and needed help. He needed help troubleshooting some wiring in a property he bought. So last night I went over there and we worked for an hour and a half on his wiring and stuff and made sure it was all working mm-hmm. correctly. And, you know, I mean, I might bill him for the time, but I probably won't, because, you know, it's just, that's the kind of relationship we have. You know, we'll go out to coffee once a week. He introduces me to, you know, private people. I help him mm-hmm. out. He helps me out. It's really a great relationship. And I always encourage people to look for those relationships, look for people that you can add value. You can help them out. You can go and help them out with wiring for an hour and a half, because, you know, I'm going to get back much more than that hour and a half just from that relationship.
I think it was Zig Ziglar that said, if you can help enough people get what they want, you'll always end up, you know, getting what you want. It all comes back to you when you give. It comes back to you in some way, in some fashion. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you came out of school and you worked as a banker for a year, and then you just escaped. You weren't in any
yeah.
you weren't there for a long time. Like some people go, well, I won't even tell you how long I had my other business, which I'd essentially created a job for myself. But, you know, and then you read the E-Myth one day and you go, well, wait a minute, this isn't right. But so you got out, you escaped the 9-to-5, and you obviously haven't looked back since. I think that's safe to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny part about that is they hired me one day. You know, I was working at the bank, and I really hated it. I mean, every morning I woke up hating going to work, and I mean, I just despised it. I was also flipping a house at the same time, so yeah, and I was doing all the work on the flip. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, 9-to-5 working at the bank, and then 5 to midnight working on the flip every day. Mm-hmm. And that was miserable. So then one day at the bank, they said, hey, we need our break room painted. And Brandon, we know you do some work. Do you want to go paint our break room? I thought, well, sure, you know, that'd be a fun day to get paid to go paint a break room. And that day I had so much fun painting that break room. I thought, I put in my 2 weeks notice that day and said, I'm going to go be a contractor instead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I thought I liked painting 1,000 times more. And I realized that day I liked what I was doing there 1,000 times more than trying to help customers open up a checking account and try to sell the latest credit card to them.
Right, so, right, yeah. You were just a born entrepreneur, and you're lucky you found what you loved. I know you love all things real estate, and I do. It's a passion, and you have to really watch when you go out with people that are non-real estate people, because you tend to just, like, talk about real estate, and you just can't wait to tell them your whatever your newest thing is. I know from being on Bigger Pockets and writing for them, and you write for them, and you've now moved into a much bigger role on that site. I'm sure most people know what Bigger Pockets is, but BiggerPockets.com is an online site, an awesome site for real estate investors and other people that are interested in that. So how did it come about, other than the fact that Josh was killing himself doing everything? How did you move into that position? And you're great at it, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I started actually, you know, I was Facebook friends with Josh, and, you know, we chatted a lot because, yeah, like you said, you know, I wrote for him, and I had another blog at the time, and he put a thing on there saying Bigger Pockets is looking for a community manager, and I read the kind of description, and I thought, this is exactly what I'm doing with my own blog, by that, you know, it was exactly what I was doing. Except for, you know, Bigger Pockets is, you know, probably 1,000 times bigger than my blog
huge,
was.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And so I thought, man, what an opportunity to be able to, you know, and so we started talking about things. I think we probably spent 5 hours, 5 different 1-hour phone calls just before even talking about whether I was good for the job, just getting to know each other better and trying to see if that was something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and he understands that I'm a full-time investor, and so you know, I got to be flexible you know, I'm constantly like getting, I mean, people stop by my house every 10 minutes during the day. You know, I just get a knock on my door. I'm surprised I haven't gotten hit up yet. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just life. And Josh was accommodating to that. Mm-hmm. And so, so he brought me on board to be able to, continue writing and continue teaching on that side of things, which has been incredible. I mean, I've learned more in the last 3 months. I thought I was a pretty good investor, you know, before joining Bigger Pockets, you know, as part of the leadership there, but being like able to see like the real estate market from like, you know, a 30,000 foot range or whatever, you know, it's incredible to see like how much more I've grown in the past 3 months. Just the more I put into it and the more I'm there, the more I learn and grow, which is great.
Yeah, it's a great site. It really doesn't matter what level you're at on Bigger Pockets, which is in your investing career, which is one of the great things about Bigger Pockets. You can be brand spanking new, and there's a ton of information there. The forums, you can go into the forum and ask any dumb question, which won't be dumb on that forum. Or you can be an advanced investor or anywhere there in between, and there's value. I can't think of a single instance where anyone couldn't find value on that site or find the answer to their problem or to their question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. I actually joined Bigger Pockets, I think, 5, 6, 7 years ago, something, when I was buying that first property, very, very beginning of my career, and I bought that house, I started watching the flipping TV shows, and I remember thinking, you know, wow, this looks like a lot of fun. I should get into flipping houses. And I told my dad, I said, at the time I was going to go to law school, actually, you know, being a history major, you got two choices, go to law school or go be a teacher. So yeah. I was going to go to law. Yeah, so I was going to go to law school. I took the LSAT test. I got all ready for that. I was applying for schools. And that's when I started watching the flipping shows. So I remember telling my dad that I wasn't going to go to law school anymore. I was going to be a real estate investor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, besides the obvious disappointment there, there was also the, well, this is what's going to happen, Brandon. He said, this is what's going to happen. The tenants aren't going to pay rent. You're not going to have the money to pay your mortgage. You're going to get foreclosed on, and you're going to live on the street. So, I mean, it was essentially the message I got. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I went on Google, and I typed in, or I think it was Dogpile at the time or whatever the popular search engine was, and I typed in what to do when tenants don't pay. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across Bigger Pockets, and I joined, and I asked that question in the forums, and I just started building from there. So, I mean, as a complete newbie beginner, I Bigger Pockets kind of taught me everything I knew. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of come full circle back to being able to, you know, teach other people what I know. And I still ask questions all the time. Like, I ask, you know, hey, I'm dealing with this issue. I'm not sure what to do with it. So, like, exactly like you said, yeah, it's, whether you're brand new or experienced, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never know it all. And about the time you think you've kind of gained expert status in one area, you realize there's still more to learn, and you pick another area usually, so then you get to start all over.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading a bunch of your stuff on direct mail lately because I know nothing about direct mail, and I've never done direct mail. I kind of been afraid of it because, you know, I'm like, oh, is it worth the investment? I'm not sure. But yeah, I've been paying a little bit special attention to all the direct mail stuff lately because I want to start doing direct mail, especially with bigger properties. I want to start direct mail towards apartment buildings or multifamilies.
Yeah, it's I probably shouldn't even say this, but I've been doing direct mail since before the internet, which I know is a totally foreign concept to somebody your age, but. Years ago, we did direct mail, and we, when I had a home inspection business, we used to actually drive to the realtor offices. You know, that was your presence. You put out flyers. You got to be known that way. It is 1,000 times easier now with the internet and sites like Bigger Pockets to do that. But, you know, direct mail is still the number one source of leads for me for my niches. Now, I don't think you can just go and just not have a strategy and not have a niche. But it still works. It's amazing because you can find those absentee owners or probates or whatever the niche is. It's a very narrowed down market. Same way with apartment buildings. It's a very narrow selection that you can make. And it's not the same as in the long time ago when you had to do television advertising and hope someone that you wanted to provide your service or product to happen to be on the TV. It still works as good as it did 20 years ago, if not better, for that. So, I would encourage you to really do that. And there are some people that are being very successful with direct mail. And coincidentally, they do a lot less as far as the numbers because of the niche they're in. It's an affordable thing to do. So the other thing that kind of intrigues me about you, other than the fact that you play guitar, which I think is cool, is that you love to travel. And I love what you said, and I'm going to read this because I'll certainly screw it up. You said, life is vacation, and I just put up with life in between trips. I think that's wonderful, and that is exactly where I would like to be. The difference is you've actually already done it. I mean, you've been to whole bunch of countries and 48 states. So how did you manage to do that? Did you just take off and travel just because?
Well, I grew up, my dad and mom love vacation. We used to go on four vacations a year. My dad had 4 weeks of vacation, and we always drove. No matter where we went, we drove. So it started at a young age. And then when I got married, you know, we usually go 2 or 3 times a year. We'll try to do a big trip somewhere. Now, I have to admit, like, the early trips were not I probably should not have done them because at the time I thought, well, I'm going to be flipping this house. I'm going to make 20 grand on this house. Let's go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then the house didn't sell, and we ended up just renting it. It's like, well, now what? You know, oh, now we got some credit card debt to pay off. Mm-hmm. So I admit that some of those weren't the best ideas, but no, I absolutely love to travel. We still do as much as we can. We went to Europe last year, and I'm hoping to go back again this year. Mm-hmm. We just did the backpack thing. We went from London, went over to Paris, Switzerland, mm-hmm. and then Italy for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. and That was amazing.
I
love it. So more travel I can do, the better. And I kind of look at real estate as like, that's my ticket to be able to travel more.
Mm-hmm. It is, because you can truly design your life around it. And I think that is the part of having a plan that you need to think about. I think it's, what kind of a lifestyle do I want? And then that will influence your decisions, possibly on the types of real estate you do, or maybe you'll mix it up and you'll do some, and then you can take a break and go travel. But you certainly cannot have that kind of freedom with a job. There's just no way you can have that when you have a job.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And a lot of it is, you know, because I know that that's the kind of lifestyle I want to lead. I know that I have to create systems that allow that to work. And so, you know, I hired a resident manager to live at the apartment complex so that way he can take care of all the maintenance concerns that I have there. And he shows units, and I kind of have those systems in place. We're getting into, I like to bill my tenants. I know a lot of landlords don't do that, but I really like the idea of monthly bills. So I'm trying to find, and I found a couple like automated billing companies that will just send out the bills every single month. And, you know, I can include late fees on there. So those are the kind of systems I'm trying to set up so I can take a more hands-off approach, which has helped quite a bit. I mean, yeah, I used to spend, you know, I don't know, probably 40, 50 hours a week managing my property. Now it's down to 5 or 10, if that, and I get to spend a lot more time trying to find new leads and hanging out in bigger pockets. So it's been working so far.
And systems are the key to that. And I can give you a resource for that, too. I have a really good friend that was managing, he probably had 75 properties before he ever hired a part-time girl to come in. And the key was he had developed his systems, and he has a system for everything. His name is Mike Butler. But I can give you some information tell you how Mike does that. And for the longest
Mike
had 100 properties, and Shirley came in one day a week, and then finally, you know, over time she came in as he grew, you know, into property management and teaching and all of those other facets of his business. But tell everybody, Mike is the master of systems, and that's why he did that.
I agree. It's Mike's book, actually. Mike Butler is A Landlord and an Autopilot. That was the book that, I mean, it changed my landlording, like, completely, my system. I mean, I would say 90% of my systems are based on things that he mentioned in that book. I mean, I recommend that book above almost all other books on real estate out there.
It's a great book. And we talked about that a little bit when I interviewed Mike back in the last year sometime. But Mike he set up a thing where he's got, it's called tenant tracking, and he's integrated it with QuickBooks, and it's just like magic. But you could, if you know about Mike Butler, you can certainly find information about that. But, you know, when Mike started, he was an undercover police detective, had a full-time job and a bazillion properties. And, you know, you just say, how can one person do that? It's just almost unimaginable. But it's systems. That's the answer. He has a system for everything. So, well, I know that you have written a book for called Bigger Pockets, A Bigger Pockets Guide, How to Rent Your House. And so you're already an author. And I want to ask you, do you have plans to maybe write some more things, do some training courses, that sort of thing?
Probably, yeah. You know, the book actually came out kind of by accident as well. I was just writing a blog post. I was going to write, you know, 1,000-word blog post, and I just kept going. And before I knew it, I had, I think, 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 words in there. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I might as well make this into a book that I can put on Amazon to try to, you know, help more people. You know, it's basically all my strategies that I've learned over the years on how to rent a house out, just put into into a book. So, you know, I love writing. I absolutely love it. I would love to just be a writer. You know, real estate is amazing, but writing is my love. I mean, I could write all day long, every day. So, yeah, I definitely hope to be writing more books, more guides for Bigger Pockets. You know, I write, you know, at least two or three times a week anyway on the blog. So I'm going to start hopefully cranking out more books and more just helpful things to help people out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I have found that for just about every real estate investor I know, it's a natural progression to move into that direction, into books and products. And before you know it, you're coaching. And it's pretty hard to be successful and not have the desire to help other people. It's just seems to be the people that end up being successful have that trait, and that's what they do. Just kind of like to finish up. I know that we've talked a little bit about kind of having a plan, but having a changing your plan. What do you see? Do you have a vision, given that you want to travel, you want to write for Bigger Pockets? Have you thought about, given some thought, I'm sure you have, to what you want your business to look like so that you can have the lifestyle that you want?
Yeah. You know, I have a lot. Actually, lately we've been thinking more and more about how I don't think I'll continue to manage my own properties forever. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to take a more passive role in that. And whether that looks more like property management or whether that means more note investing and investing in mortgages or those kind of things, I haven't really decided which way I'm going to go of those two. But I definitely like the... I mean, and everyone goes through that. I think, like, there's stages in the real estate, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start out going, you know, doing all the work yourself, and then you kind of graduate to being the manager of the work, and then you kind of graduate to you're being the owner, and then you kind of graduate to being the money. And right. So it's those, like, four stages that every investor kind of goes through. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm kind of graduating from the managing to kind of the owner right now, and maybe from the owner to the money, hopefully sooner rather than later.
That's a great blog post, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I
sure there's a lot of people haven't thought about that. I thought about it in exactly those terms. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today. It helps people so much to hear other people's stories and to have people of all ages and from all backgrounds and from all parts of the country, because I had a fellow tell me one time, he was a minister, and he called me and he said, would you consider doing an interview, because I'm in a very poor city and a very poor parish, and the women in my parish cannot even grasp the fact that it's possible for them to have a business. It's not even something they can think about, because they were raised in a neighborhood where that just didn't happen. But it's not only women. There are a lot of men out there that think, due to my circumstance or my life where it is now, I can't do this. But to actually see someone that has done it and done it successfully is tremendously helpful to those folks.
Yeah.
So thanks for that, and for telling your story. I think, you know, there's just so much to be learned here from Brandon and from his work and from Bigger Pockets. I encourage everybody to go over to Bigger Pockets, check the site out. Josh Dorkin has done a great job with that site, so I want to be sure and give them a great plug. And I know Brandon works hard over there. So thanks once again, Brandon, and we will have your interview up on my blog, the Louisville Gals Real Estate blog, here in a few days. And if you have any questions for me or for Brandon, will be a spot on there for you to ask those, and we'll see that you get some answers. This is Sharon Bornholt from the Louisville Gals Real Estate blog. Thanks so much for watching.
Thanks, Sharon.